Morning, everyone. Today's Daf and Erevin, Daf Kuf Gimel. We're on Kuf Beis Amud Beis. We're now, as I mentioned, there are a number of Mishnayos that are going to be taking us through the range of various Yisuri de Rabbanan, Shvus, as they would say, in the Beis Hamikdash. We are continuing on the Mishnah on Kuf Beis Amud Beis. We're at the middle Mishnah of the Amud Machzir and Ritiyah B'Mikdash. And today's discussion starts off with bandages. Bandages for the Kohen. Here's the problem. Kohen wants to do the avoda, and Kohen's got a cut or a wound. The cut and the wound by itself is fine, meaning it's going to get a little, may get a little bit messy, but let's be honest, we're in the Beis HaMikdash, things are get messy in the Beis HaMikdash. A lot of shechting, a lot of blood. The Gemara Pesachim, which we're going to be getting into in just a few short days from now, is going to be discussing at length how messy, in fact, it does get in the Beis HaMikdash. So to have a cut or a wound on your hand while doing the avoda is not the issue. The issue is, the Kohen would like to bandage it up, so he's going to put a bandage on it. The issue is then going to become, well, if the bandage is on his hand, so then he can't do the avoda. We know that a Kohen, in order to do the avoda, can have no chatzitza, no barrier, no separation between his hand and the knife that he's holding or the blood that he's sprinkling, meaning there has to be hand-on-avoda contact. So, the problem now becomes, so far we haven't experienced the problem yet, so in other words, when he's going to want to do the avodas, he's going to want to take off the bandage. Which now means that on Shabbos, after he's taken off the bandage, he's going to want to rebandage his hand. Now we're going to introduce a problem. The problem is that when we're talking about a bandage, usually we talk about a bandage with ointment. Okay, that's generally speaking, although the Mishnah doesn't actually say it, but we're going to assume that it's a bandage with ointment. If it's a bandage with ointment, so now we have a problem. Because now on Shabbos, what he's going to end up doing is reapplying the bandage with an ointment. He's going to be smearing the ointment. One of the 39 malachas on Shabbos is what's called memareach, right? Smoothing something down that's viscous. And so that's the malacha of memareach. So what the Mishnah is about to tell us is it's okay. That is what our Mishnah is addressing. Machzir and Ritiyah b'mikdash avolo b'medina. So what a Kohen can do is he can return the bandage on his hand in the Beis HaMikdash. And again, I gave you all the background. Meaning, he wants to do the avoda, his hand has to be uncovered, he takes off the bandage before he does the avoda, he does the avoda, and then he wants to re-bandage his hand, the Mishnah says that's fine. He's allowed to do that. Machzir Ritiyah B'Mikdash Avolo B'Medina, and Im B'Tchila Kam V'Kanasa. But to put the bandage on for the very first time, that the Kohen's not allowed to do. Meaning, for the purpose of avoda, that's fine. Meaning, he has to do an avoda, he has to take off the bandage, so for that we'll allow him to rebandage. But if it's for the very first time, meaning there's no avoda component that necessitates him to put the bandage on, so then he's not allowed to, that the Kohen's not allowed to do. Tana Rabbana, and by the way, it's interesting, Rashi. Rashi quotes the Gemara in Beitzar. So Rashi says, basically, what's the real heter? Meaning the real heter is to rewrap the bandage after he does the avoda, right? In other words, it's what really should be allowed is just simply the taking off of the bandage. The putting the bandage back on, the avoda is finished already. So what really gives them the license to put it back on again? So if you take a look at Rashi, it's the first Rashi of the Mishnah. It's in Rashi terminology, it's the first really wide line on the Amud. So Rashi writes, V'ze'echad, the last three words of the line of Rashi, V'ze'echad mishlosha dvarim ha'amurim b'maseches beitza shehutra sofa mishum tchila san. So the Gemara in Beitza mentions a couple of things, three things in total, where we permitted the end because of the beginning, meaning that you're right. Meaning, really, the bandage is being rewrapped after he does the avoda. And after he does the avoda, really, there is no longer an avoda component to rewrapping. But we also know that if we don't allow him to rewrap after the avoda, he won't take the bandage off to begin with. And if he won't take the bandage off to begin with, so then you're going to have a chatzitza, you're going to have that separation between his hand and whatever he needs the hand for, whatever the avoda is at the time. And so therefore, we're forecasting that in order to allow him to, in order to encourage him, I should say, to take off the bandage, we're going to allow him to put it back on after he does the avoda. This is the concept of hutra sofan mishum tchilasan. The end here justifies the means. Again, we can't overgeneralize, but in this case, yes. We'll allow him to put it on afterwards so that he'll take it off before he does the avodah. Tanu Rabbanan, we start with the Gemara. We're on the middle of the Amud. Retia Shapirsha Me Agabe Maka Machzirin B'Shabbos. The Braisa over here discusses where the bandage comes off. And by the way, we're not talking no longer in the Beis Hamikdash. We're just simply speaking in general. And it just falls off, so you're allowed to put it back on again. So says the Tanakhama. Rav Yehuda Omer, Huchlaka Lamata, Dochka Lamala. Lamala, Dochka Lamala. Umegala mixas retia umekanech piamaka, the chose megala mixas retia mekanech piamaka, or retia atzma loyi kanech memneshu memareach, the imirech chayev chatas. So, to fidget a little bit with the wound, to expose a little bit, to clean the wound a little bit, to cover it, so that you're allowed to do, but to actually rub the ointment into the bandage itself, that's a malacha daraisa, and if you do so, you're chayav karban chatas. Okay, so basically we have in the Mishnah over here, in the Braisa over here, is a basic machlokas between the Chachamim and Rav Yehuda in terms of care, wound care on Shabbos. Again, no longer in the Beis HaMikdash, but in general. Right, so you have the bandage already bandaged on Shabbos, the ointment is already there on Shabbos, and it falls off, can you put it back on again? So it's a machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda.
Are you talking about smearing on the skin that they consider, or smearing on the cloth?
I'm unsure. I hear your question. I'm not particularly sure. It would seem to make no difference. It would seem to make no difference, but I'm still with you, though. I'm not sure what is being described over here. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. I'm Hashemah Allah ki Rabbi Yehuda. So, and on this machlok is between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda, so he gives a very clear position, which is the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, so that means that once the bandage falls off, you're not allowed to put it back on again. Amar Rav Chisla L'shana Ola Shepirsha Agabe Kli, Aval Pirsha Agabe Karka Divra Akol Aser. Now, even within this machlokas of bandage coming off, are you allowed to rebandage? And even the Tanakama's position, which is that you're allowed to put it back on again, Rav Chisla wants to limit the position of the Chachamim. The Chachamim who say that you're allowed to put it back on again, that's only if it falls down not on the floor, but on a pillow or on some sort of blanket. But if it falls down on the floor, so then it would be prohibited. It would be usur. Why should that be? Meaning, what difference does it make where the bandage falls off? If the bandage falls off, you should be able to put it back on again. So Rashi explains, it's a very short Rashi, but Rashi explains over here, once it falls on the floor, it's like you're putting the bandage on for the first time. So in other words, and we know that putting it on for the first time is going to be prohibited. Now, by the way, mind you, I'm sure this all this is obvious, but I'll say it anyway. Meaning if it's a kind of cut or if it's kind of wound, which is subject to infection, and you're looking at a real sakana, you're looking at a real risk, so then that you're allowed to violate Shabbos. So we're discussing over here where there's no real sakana, there's no present critical danger. It's just, in other words, it's just simple care and a little cosmetics. Okay, so so if it falls down on the floor, so then it's like you're doing it for the first time, and everyone agrees that that would be prohibited. So, again, where do we stand now in terms of taking the bandage and putting back on your wound again? So to put it on for the first time on Shabbos, that you're not allowed to do. That's a given. To, if you have it on already and it falls off, so it's a machlokas tanayim between the Tanakam and Rav Yehuda, whether you're allowed to put it back on again, the Tanakam is mekel, Rav Yehuda is machmer. On this machlokas tanayim, we have a psak of Rav Yehuda, which is that we go like Rabbi Yehuda, which is that you're not allowed to put it on again. And even the Tanakam's position was modified by Rav Chista, who says that you only can put it back on again only if it falls on a pillow, right? In other words, not the floor, a table. It doesn't fall down the floor. But once it falls down the floor, it's then now like you're putting on for the first time, and then it would be prohibited. Okay. The Gemara, finishing up this whole discussion, Amar Mar Baravashi Hava Kaimna Kame Abba. So I was in front of my father, and what happens? Nafla le abesaje. So what happens is that I had a bandage. The bandage fell off, and it falls off on the pillow. Okay, doesn't fall on the floor. The hakama hadarle. So, and what I did is I took the bandage and I rewrapped my wound with the bandage. Okay, now that's good. Meaning, you certainly satisfied the position of Rav Chista in how he modified the Tanakama. So from that perspective, that's fine. However, The problem is, do we even pass mark the Tanakhama? So this is where he got criticized. So Amin Alei, I said to him, Lo Sevel Amar Lahad Amar Rav Chista Machlokish Shepirsha Agabe Kli Aval Pirsha Agabe Karka Aser. So V'Amar Shmuel Halacha K'Rebi Yehuda. In other words, don't we say that the halacha is like Rav Yehuda? So Amarle, so he says to me, Lo Shmieli, I never heard that, and he meant that respectfully. Klamar Lo Sfirli, I don't hold of that, meaning I don't hold that the halacha is like Rav Yehuda, but rather hold like the Tanakama. So you see that even in the Gemara itself, it's debated whether or not the bandage comes off, whether or not you're allowed to reapply the bandage. The halacha is the concluding halacha? Okay, I'm not 100% sure. I didn't look it up. Okay, but discussion about reapplying the bandage. Okay, in the Beis HaMikdash, again, a little bit of background to the upcoming Mishnah. So in the Beis HaMikdash, so they would do the Avodah even on Shabbos. In fact, we read it every Rosh Chodesh. Some read it every day. So that we know that the carbon tamid has to be a daily offering. Daily offering, by definition, means daily. So that means that we bring the carbon tamid every day on Shabbos. We also bring the carbon musafim as well. Okay. So we know that we bring carbonos even on Shabbos. That much we know. Did you know that in general, when a carbon was brought, so there was accompanying song, right? Part of the job of the Levium. Levium basically had two jobs, two functions in the Beis HaMikdash. Number one, they were the sha'ar. They took care of guarding the gates of the Beis HaMikdash. When we discuss Masechta Tamid, we discuss that at length. And then the other job of the Levi is that he was also the shorer. They also had the choir. The choir in the Beis HaMikdash, and they would sing, and they would sing Prakim of Tehillim while the Avodah was being done. And it was an entire choir. A cappella or with instruments? Answer, with instruments. So the Levium would not only be singing, but they would also be playing instruments as well as the Avodah was being done. Okay? So far, so good. Now, what about the following? Meaning, so good. So now that they're singing and playing instruments while the Avodah is being done, and it's part of the Avodah, so are you singing and playing instruments in Shabbos as well? Answer is, yeah. There is a discussion in the Gemara and Sukkah, Iker Shir B'Peh, Iker Shir B'Kli. What is the main component of singing? Is singing the vocals or singing the instruments? But right now, let's assume, for our purpose of our discussion, that the Avodah is done with song, with musical instruments. Okay? That's in the Beis HaMikdash. Outside the Beis HaMikdash, obviously prohibited. The Gemara Beis is going to mention that. We'll get to that when we get to Masechta Beitza. In the meantime, however, okay, so now the Levim are playing their instruments in the Beis HaMikdash, and one of the strings broke of one of their guitars. Now, I know it's not exactly a guitar. Whatever the instrument they used in those days, a harp. Actually, Rashi at one point in today's daf is going to say the word harp. So, okay. It was a strong instrument, and the string broke. So are you allowed to fix the string on Shabbos? So what does our Mishnah say? Kosher nima b'mikdash avalo b'medina. Okay, so the Mishnah says, in the Beis HaMikdash, it's fine. Outside the Beis HaMikdash, it's prohibited. So in other words, again, we go back to the same point that we're making time and again. Meaning the topics, we jump around from topic to topic, but the point that we're hammering again and again is that something which is an Issur D'Rabbanan, and I need it in order to facilitate the Avoda in the Mikdash, so I'm allowed to do that in the Beis HaMikdash. Not me. I mean, Kohanim are allowed to do that. Or in this case, Levium are allowed to do that in the Beis HaMikdash. However, it's still awesome at the Rabbanan, so that means outside the context of the Beis HaMikdash, you're not allowed to do it. That has been the point that we've been hammering again and again over these past couple of days. So the Mishnah says, Koshanima b'mikdash, that if I have a string that breaks in one of the instruments, so I'm allowed to tie it up again in the Beis HaMikdash. The im the avalo b'medina, but you're not allowed to do that outside the Beis HaMikdash. Then the Mishnah goes on to say, the im betchila kan v'kan aser. However, says the Mishnah, what if it broke before Shabbos and you had an opportunity to fix it before Shabbos, and he was just lazy? So now what? So the Mishnah says that you cannot fix on Shabbos because they have the opportunity to take care of it before Shabbos, so therefore you can't fix it on Shabbos itself. Ad kan divrei ha-mishnah uriminu. The Gemara starts off by posing somewhat of a discrepancy between our Mishnah and, what is this, a Braisa? Let's say it's a Braisa. Nimas kinosh en ifzik alo haya kosher ela onva. The Braisa says that if I have the string of a harp that breaks, so we wouldn't be allowed to tie it in a permanent knot, but onva, to make a bow out of it. Meaning fix it, but not with a permanent knot, fix it with a bow. Okay. So, what we seem to have now is a discrepancy between the Mishnah, our Mishnah, and the Braisa that we just quoted. Our Mishnah says that if it breaks on Shabbos, tie it up, and tie it up with a bona fide knot. The Braisa says, no, don't tie it up with a bona fide knot, but rather make a bow out of it, assuming that that's going to work, but you can't tie it in a knot. So, we have a problem, we need a solution. The Gemara is going to offer three, maybe even four different solutions to this problem. Solution number one says the Gemara, Lokasha, Ha Rabbanan, Ha Rabbi Eliezer. Okay. So the first attempted approach is to suggest that maybe the machlokus over here between the Mishnah and the Braisa is the machlokus between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. Let's review what we already know. The Gemara in Shabbos, the 19th parak of Shabbos, describes the following, that if the eighth day of the baby falls out on Shabbos, so you're allowed to do the mitzvah of milah on Shabbos. So that means that you could take the baby, and what normally you're not allowed to do is cut into the skin of any person. I mean, assuming that it's, you know, there's also hezek issues as well, but in other words, you're not allowed to cut into skin on Shabbos. You're making a chabura, you're making a wound. It could be a subcategory of shechita, could be a subcategory of tzoveya. Okay, I know there's a third possibility, which escapes me right now. Whatever the case is, meaning it's a malacha to do so. However, the mitzvah of milah is docha Shabbos, it overrides Shabbos. Okay, let's say I don't have a knife. I forgot the knife. So, can I make a knife in order to the milah on Shabbos? This is what's called machshirei mitzvah, or machshirei milah. So this is the machlokis between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim in the Mishnah in Shabbos. And Rashi over here quotes, the first Rashi in the Gemara, plugged to Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbanan, Gabi Milash, Rabbi Eliezer, Matir, Lachsov, Eitzim, Lassos, Pchamim, Bishabbos, Lassos, Izemol, La Mobo. Rabbi Eliezer basically allows you to do whatever it takes to do the Mila. Meaning, I don't have a knife. Okay, so I'm going to melt down metal. Melt down metal, I don't even have fuel. Fine. So what Rabbi Eliezer allows you to do on Shabbos is go cut down the tree. So now that you can make a fire, make the fire, melt the metal, make the knife. Can you imagine doing all this on one Shabbos? Make the knife so that you can cut the arlas havlad. Okay, that is the position of Rabbi Eliezer, and the Chachamim disagree. Rashi goes on to explain. Rashi goes on to explain nothing. Good. And the Chachamim disagree, where the Chachamim do not allow you to do machshirei mila. Okay. Now, what the Gemara is now suggesting is that we have a Mishnah, our Mishnah, that says that you can tie the string on Shabbos. Tying the string of the instrument would be a malacha daraisa, but you're allowed to do it, says our Mishnah. The Braisa we just quoted says, no, don't tie it, just make a bow. And so now what the Gemara is suggesting is that machlokus between the Mishnah and the Braisa is in actuality machlokus between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. Let's think this through, because it's not going to work out that well. Let's think this through. Our Mishnah that's being more lenient is subscribing to the viewpoint of Rabbi Eliezer, who says that you're allowed to do machshirin, meaning I got to play the instrument because I got to do the avoda. So, and if the string breaks, oh good, I can fix it. So our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Eliezer. And the Braisa that says that you can't tie the string, but you can only make a bow, and a bow is not prohibited, making a kshir is not prohibited. So therefore, that's the opinion of the Chachamim who disagree with Rabbi Eliezer. That's the proposal of the Gemara. It's a difficult proposal. If you could already think of the reason why it's difficult, well, the Gemara is going to spell it out. So, Lokasha ha Rabbanan ha Rabbi Eliezer. So li Rabbi Eliezer damar machshir mitzvah dochen esos Shabbos kosher. Li Rabbanan damar in dochen onva. So the Gemara sets it up so that the machlokas between the Mishnah and the Braisa is really the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim respectively. The Gemara says, if you think this through, you realize it is not a fluid answer. E Rabbi Eliezer, afilu chatzchila nami. Because remember, Rabbi Eliezer back in Mila says, you know what you can do on Shabbos in order to do the Mila for the baby? Whatever is necessary. So here in our Mishnah doesn't say, go ahead, do whatever is necessary. In fact, our Mishnah says that if the string broke before Shabbos, so you can't tie it on Shabbos. Well, if the author of our Mishnah is Rabbi Eliezer, the simple question is, well, why not? Doesn't Rabbi Eliezer allow you to do almost anything? So I feel like chatchila nami. So El Lokashia, so the Gemara says that's a strong question. It's such a strong question, we gotta move on. The Gemara is gonna now make a different proposal, which is Ha Rabbi Yehuda Ha Rabbanan. So the Gemara now invokes another machlokas, and that is the machlokas between the Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. And that is the following. Again, a little bit of background over here. This takes us back to Masechta Shabbos. I'm looking at Rashi. This is not my Bekiyas. We're on Daf Kuf Yud Gimel in Shabbos, right? Which is close to where we are. We're in Kuf Beis Kuf Gimel in Erevin. Kuf Yud Gimel in Shabbos has the following discussion. I know I'm not allowed to make a non on Shabbos. Making a non on Shabbos is one of the 39 malachas. It's kosher. Okay. How about making a bow? Am I allowed to make a bow on Shabbos? So I kind of feel like we all know the answer to that. Okay, in that we do tie our shoes on Shabbos. But in other words, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana, he says that making a bow on Shabbos is tantamount to making a knot. It is just as prohibited to make a bow on Shabbos as it is to make a knot. That is the position of Rabbi Yehuda as recorded in the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos. So our Mishnah says that you're allowed to tie the instrument. The Braisa says, no, you can't tie. The only thing you could do is make a bow. So now what the Gemara is going to propose is that the discrepancy between the Mishnah and the Braisa is in reality the discrepancy between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. And again, let's think this through. According to Rabbi Yehuda, there's no difference between making a bow and tying a knot. It's halachically the same. So now, who would Rabbi Yehuda be? Rabbi Yehuda would be our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, tie a knot. Because it's no worse halachically, or it's no better halachically, than making a bow. Making a bow and tying a knot are going to be the same. So Rabbi Yehuda says, tie a knot. Meaning, well, if they're both prohibited, why are you allowed to do it? So as the Gemara is just about to say, we haven't gotten there yet, well, you're going to have to say that Rabbi Yehuda agrees with Rabbi Eliezer. And then if we could just forecast a little bit more of the Gemara upcoming, well, if that's true, if Rabbi Yehuda agrees with Rabbi Eliezer, so then it really shouldn't make a difference whether the instrument broke on Shabbos or before Shabbos. Okay, but I'm forecasting a little bit ahead. Now we go back to the Braisa. The Braisa says, no, don't tie a knot, make a bow. That's going like the position of the Chachamim, who say that making a bow on Shabbos is mutter. In other words, if there's a way of me fixing the instrument without having to violate a malacha, it'd be better to do that. And that's why the Braisa says make a bow and don't tie a knot. So the machlokas between the Mishnah and the Braisa could in actuality be the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Let's see the Gemara inside. El Lokasha ha Rabbi Yehuda ha Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda liba deman. Now, but again, and as we made this point already, but now we get to see it inside the Gemara. Well, who's Rabbi Yehuda going like? E aliba de Rabbi Eliezer. Is Rabbi Yehuda subscribing to the viewpoint of Rabbi Eliezer? Kamarafila chatchila nami. Well, then, didn't we say that according to Rabbi Eliezer, you're allowed to do machshirei mila on Shabbos under all circumstances? Shouldn't Rabbi Eliezer and our Mishnah say that you're allowed to fix the instrument on Shabbos under all circumstances, whether the string broke on Shabbos or whether it broke yesterday? It shouldn't make a difference according to Rabbi Eliezer. And if we are aligning Rabbi Yehuda like Rabbi Eliezer, which we have to do, otherwise how can you tie the knot? So then what difference would it make then whether it broke on Shabbos or the day before Shabbos? Basically what the Gemara says is we're back to square one. Meaning the only way Rabbi Yehuda could work is if he goes like Rabbi Eliezer, but as we pointed out just a couple lines ago, our Mishnah cannot be going like Rabbi Eliezer because our Mishnah makes a distinction between whether it broke on Shabbos or before Shabbos. So Ialiba de Rabbi Lazar Kamar Afila Chaychila Nami El Lokasha. So now this is the Gemara's third attempt at explaining the discrepancy between the Mishnah and the Braisa. Once again, the Mishnah says the string breaks on Shabbos, you could tie it up, but not if it broke before Shabbos. The Braisa says if it breaks on Shabbos, you can only make a bow, but you can't tie it. So once again, how do we understand the discrepancy between the Mishnah and the Braisa? So the Gemara says, we're now on Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph, we are two lines down. Elokasha, ha Rabbi Shimon, ha Rabbanan. So the discrepancy can be explained as another machlokas Tanaim, and that of the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim. And here, it's all inside the Gemara. I don't have to give background. The Tanya will learn to the Braisa ben Levi, shenevisikolo nima. If I have a member of the Levi whose instrument broke, string snapped, bikinur, as he was playing the harp, koshra, so you're allowed to tie it, Rabbi Shimon Omer, onva. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, don't tie it, but rather make a bow. So once again now, it's pretty clear. We have a Braisa with a machlokas between the Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon, and good now. The Mishnah and the Braisa are just simply reflective of the machlokas between the Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon. Now, as long as we're still in the Braisa, let's keep reading on because there's a third opinion. Rabbi Shimon ben Lazar Omer, af hi eina mashmas esakol, ela mishalsha melamata vikorech melamala, o mishalsha melamala vikorech melamata. So, Rabbi Shimon ben Lazar is just arguing with the what seems to be what the Metzius, meaning if you're going to just simply either make a bow or tie the string, it's not going to be a qualitatively improved sound. Or not even improved, it won't be the same. So in other words, what we need to do is we need to let out more string. Now, string instruments, like I'm not a musician, but, you know, I dabble, but I'm not a musician. But strong instruments, especially if you think about a guitar, so you have at the end of the car, you have that that machine, or that peg, where basically you wind extra string around it. So basically what Rabbi Shimon Elazar is saying is, don't tie a knot in the string, but rather unwind some of the extra string that's around the end, and basically pull it through in order to fix the instrument. Now, that third opinion over there, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, for our purposes, it's an interesting position, but it's a bonus, meaning it's just part of the Braisa, but really what we gain from this Braisa is now that we understand the machlokas between the Mishnah and the Braisa. The Mishnah that says that you're allowed to tie a knot in the instrument, that's the Tanakama. The Braisa that says that you're not allowed to tie a knot, but you're only allowed to make a bow, that's Rabbi Shimon. So we do have it. At least we have now a basis of understanding the machlokas. Well, maybe not understanding, but at least sources for the machlokas between the Mishnah and the Braisa. The Gemara now makes another suggestion. Perhaps the machlokas between the Mishnah and the Braisa is where the break took place, whether it took place in the middle or whether it took place at the edge. It's just a question of what is going to be an effective way of fixing the string. If it breaks in the middle, so then we're going to have to tie it. If it breaks at the edge, so then I can just unwind a little bit and allow more string to go through. And then another suggestion is that the discrepancy between the Mishnah and the Braisa is that in both cases it's snapped in the middle, in the very center of the string, and it's just a question of whether or not we make a gzera or we do not make a gzera in terms of fixing it. Okay. Adkan, that takes us now through our Mishnah. So again, our Mishnah is talking about instruments in the Beis HaMikdash. It breaks, what can you do? Our Mishnah says that you are allowed to tie the string of the instrument in the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos. You can't do it outside the Beis HaMikdash, as that would be a violation of Tikkun Mana, of fixing a kli.
This is not specifically of Kohen. Israel can do the same thing in
the Levim are the ones who are charged with the obligation of performing. So,
and is it basically following the principle of Lo Shvut
B'Mikdash? Yeah, right. Again, following that basic guideline of Ein Shvut B'Mikdash. Okay, next, in our Mishnah, we are now going to move on in topics. Again, the same basic overarching topic of Isuri D'Rabbanan can be done the Beis HaMikdash. If it's for the purpose of avoda, that's the general idea. But now We move gears, and now we discuss a Yabelis. Yabelis, I guess a wart is a good way to describe it, although I'm not sure if I'm medically on in line with what the Mishnah is describing over here, but it's some sort of growth that is coming off the body. Now, the problem is that the Torah says that when you offer carbon, the carbon has to be a perfect animal, an unblemished animal. So that means that the animals can have no physical blemishes. What physical blemishes would result in being the animal being a mum? So we go through the Gemara in Becharas. We've gone through it, I would say recently, but it seems like forever ago. We've gone through the Mishnah in Becharas and the Gemara in Becharas, where the Gemara outlines in details over there exactly what is a mum. And it's based on the Psukim in Chumash. The Psukim in Chumash, I believe, are found in Parshas Emor. Right? Is that about right? I get a check for today. Okay, so Parshas Emor, Gemara in Becharos, fifth parak, if I remember correctly, in Becharos. But that I think, I'm not 100% sure. Either way, so the animal cannot be a blemished animal. If the animal is a baal mum, it can't be offered as a karbon. What if I could remove the mum? Great. Okay. What about if it's Shabbos? Okay, now we're going to get a little more tentative. So in other words, we're talking about the removal of a blemish on Shabbos. Now, removing of any type of skin, scab, or hair on Shabbos would be a violation of one of the 39 malachas on Shabbos. Meaning, of the 39 malachas on Shabbos, one of them is called gozes. Gozes means that you're not allowed to remove hair, skin, any growth from your body on Shabbos. Just like you're not allowed to shear the sheep on Shabbos. Although, if I can ask a question, it's not a question, but just raise an issue which definitely needs some sort of further elaboration. The malach of gozes is when I'm shearing the sheep, I'm doing so why? What's the purpose? What's the goal? And so I can get the wool. Meaning I want the wool off the animal. When I'm doing any of these activities where we're describing, removal of hair, removal of a wart, removal of skin, so there I don't want it. Meaning I'm not going to use the hair, wart, or skin. Almost, not exactly. The other one, malacha she'en tzrich l'gufa. I'm doing the malacha, but not for the original purpose of why it was done in the Beis Hamikdash. It's malacha she'en tzrich l'gufa. So anyway, okay, it's an issue. It needs more explanation. And now is not the time, and I'm not the person. So but anyway, that's something to think about. In the meantime, however, our Mishnah here says, Chotchen Yabelis b'mikdash. So you have an animal, it has a blemish. So what can I do on Shabbos? Remove the blemish. That's easy. And not only that, the Mishnah says, Chotchen. Now, usually Chotech means to cut, so usually you would understand it to mean with a knife. It's clear, it will become clear in just a moment, that's not what the Mishnah means. The Mishnah means remove it with your hand. Okay, so, it's a little nasty, but we're in the Beis HaMikdash, we're handling animals. This is, you know, normal conduct in the Beis HaMikdash. So take the wart with your hand and just rip it right off the animal. Not a problem. Chotchen Yabelis b'mikdash avalo b'medina. You cannot do this type of behavior outside the Beis HaMikdash. That would be a violation. Now, being that you're doing it with your hand and you're not doing it with a kli, we may be only dealing with an issur derabanan, but so what? If I'm not doing it for the purpose of avodah, it's an issur derabanan, and therefore I'm not allowed to do it. The imbikli kan v'kanaser. However, to cut it off with a utensil, the Mishnah says, is going to be prohibited. Okay. Probably because, if not definitely, because cutting it off, when Rashi says this, cutting it off with a kli now you're dealing with an av malacha, meaning this is gozes. Right, straight on. Gozes is shearing the sheep with a knife. Here I'm cutting off the abelis with a knife. So therefore it's an av malacha, and therefore I'm not allowed to do it, neither in or outside the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. Very minimal. Okay, good. That's our Mishnah in Erevin. Pretty straightforward, pretty clear. The problem is, we have a Mishnah in Pesachim, which is not going to agree with our Mishnah. Let's see the Mishnah. Let's learn the Mishnah in Pesachim together. Reminu, hirkivu ve'eviyosu mechus letchum ve'chatichas yabalaso ein dochen Rabbi Lazar Omer dochen. Okay. The Mishnah in Pesachim deals with the following. We know that on Pesach, every one of us needs to bring Karm Pesach. In fact, in 3 short days from now, Shabbos. So we start Masechta Pesachim. So we are all familiar with the fact that we have to bring a Karban Pesach to the Beis HaMikdash on the 14th day of Nisan. 14th day of Nisan, wait a second, 14th day of Nisan can fall out any day of the week. In fact, it could even fall out on Shabbos. So that means then that we're going to be bringing the Karban Pesach to the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos. Well, no, we're describing right now on Shabbos. The case we're describing right now, this Mishnah is describing, is where the 14th day falls out on Shabbos. So the Mishnah says, that's fine, meaning the Torah says that it has to be brought on the 14th day of Nisan, so it's going to override the Shabbos. The shechting of your Karban Pesach is going to be overriding the Shabbos. It's b'mo'ado. The Torah gives a prescribed time and when it needs to be brought, so even if that prescribed time falls out on Shabbos, then we're going to bring the Karban Pesach on Shabbos. That's great. That's good. But says the Mishnah, here's a list of things you cannot do. You cannot carry the animal. That's Hotzah. You cannot bring the animal from outside of Tchum. And says the Mishnah, if your Karban Pesach happens to have a wart, you can't cut off the wart. Okay? Meaning you can't violate any of these Yisurim. The actual shechting of the Karban Pesach, that's fine. Check. But any of these preparatory activities, you cannot do in order to bring your Karban Pesach. That's the Mishnah Pesachim. So now, we have, once again, a small problem. We have a Mishnah in Erevin against a Mishnah in Pesachim. The Mishnah in Erevin that we just learned together is that you are allowed to rip it off with your hand. You're just not allowed to cut it off with a kli. And the Mishnah Pesachim says that you're not allowed to rip it off. And now the Mishnah doesn't say whether with a hand or with a kli. But right now, let's just leave the question very simple. The Mishnah Pesachim says you're not allowed to rip it off. Okay. Problem. A Mishnah Erevin versus a Mishnah Pesachim. The Gemara is going to give us now 4 different approaches in terms of how to resolve this. I'd like to try in the next 10 minutes to go through all 4 different approaches. Finish up to the next Mishnah on Kuf Gimel Amud Beis. Good luck to me. So let's go now approaches 1 and 2. And by the way, I missed an important point, which is that in that Mishnah Pesachim, Rabbi Elazar Omer Dochen, Rabbi Elazar says you're allowed to do it. Sure. Of course, because it's machshirin. In other words, Rabbi Eliezer, just like we learned earlier this morning, just like by meal on Shabbos, he allows you to do any preparatory activity in order to do the milah, so too by the Karban Pesach, machshirin, any of the preparatory activities he's going to allow you to do as well. Okay. But, good, that's Rabbi Eliezer. The question still stands. It's a simple, basic question. The Mishnah Erevin says you can't remove the wart. Let me say that again. The Mishnah Erevin says you can remove the wart with your hand. The Mishnah Pesachim says you cannot. So, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yossi, Chanina. So here we go now, approaches 1 and 2. The Gemara is going to bring them back to back. Hava habalacha, velo kasha, kan biyad, kan bekli. So one resolution is our Mishnah Erevin that says he can, that's with your hand. The Mishnah Pesachim that says he can't, that's with a knife. Okay. A second approach is that our Mishnah that says that you're allowed to is talking about where the wart's a dry wart. Okay? In other words, it's basically dead skin. We are discussing in our Mishnah the removal of dead skin. Dead skin is as if it's already been removed. So therefore, gozes is removing live growth off the body, like a hair. Like live skin. But if it's dead skin, so it would not be a problem to remove it on Shabbos again, to remove the wart off the Karban on Shabbos. In general, in the Medina, you're not allowed to do it, but in the Beis HaMikdash, you're allowed to. In other words, it would only represent, at worst, an Issa D'Rabbanan, in the Beis HaMikdash, you're allowed to do it. The Mishnah in Pesachim that says that you're not allowed to do it is talking about where it's lacha, where it's moist. So that it would represent an Issa D'Oraisa. Okay. So those are our 2 approaches. Now, there are going to be problems with each approach. Let's address the problems with each approach. Ulaman damar habiyad habikli. My time alo amar habalach habi yavisha amalach habi yavisha filo bikli nami shari. So first of all, The one who answers the discrepancy by saying that one Mishnah is with a one Mishnah is talking about with moist and the other one's talking about dry. How come? Sorry, one's with a hand, one's with a kli. How come he doesn't like the distinction of wet versus dry? So he says it's very simple. If the wart in question is dry and it's just dead skin, removing it on Shabbos would be totally permitted. And it does not matter whether you do it with your hand or whether you do it with the utensil. In other words, you're just scraping off dead skin on Shabbos. So according to this Manda Amar, it's totally fine. It doesn't represent a problem whatsoever. My time of the Gemara spells out, Ifruche Ifrucha, because all you're doing is just scraping off something which is pretty much off the body to begin with. Now, why didn't he like the discrepancy? The one who said lacha versus yevesha, why didn't he like the discrepancy or the distinction of hand versus kli? It's very simple. You're going to create a distinction like that in the Mishnah when that distinction already exists in our Mishnah. Meaning, our Mishnah says that on Shabbos, you have a wart in the animal, I can remove it with my hand, but not with a kli. So the distinction is already there in our Mishnah. So you're not really innovating. You're not really presenting anything that we don't know if we just simply don't read our Mishnah. The Gemara says, yeah, but no, I'll tell you why it's critical. Meaning, our Mishnah does make the distinction between the hand versus the kli. And the Mishnah Pesachim says that you're not allowed to do it, and the Mishnah means you're not allowed to do it with a kli. So what's the Mishnah adding to our understanding? The Mishnah Pesachim is actually adding the idea that it's a machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. That's meaning that according to Rabbi Eliezer, even with a kli, you're allowed to remove it, because he allows machshirin. Now, the Mishnah in Pesachim, according to one approach, is talking about removal with a kli. And the Mishnah Pesachim says that you're not allowed to remove the wart with a kli. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you the problem with that approach. That Mishnah Pesachim, let's take a look at the other things in that Mishnah. What other things did the Mishnah prohibit us doing with a Karban Pesach? You can't carry it, and you can't bring it from outside of Tchum. In addition to the fact that you're not allowed to remove the wart with a knife. The Gemara says, do you see the problem? Meaning the other things mentioned in that Mishnah Pesachim are carrying it, carrying a live animal. Is it d'oraisa or is it d'rabbanan?
Why is it an
issue? Huh?
If the animal can walk,
so then it's only an issa d'rabbanan. We have the concept of chai no se satsmo, that if you carry something which is ambulatory, you're not violating Issa D'oraisa, you're only violating Issa D'rabbanan. So carrying a live animal on Shabbos only represents an Issa D'rabbanan. And what about bringing it from outside of Tchum? Let's say you did that. What kind of violation is that? That's also only an Issa D'rabbanan. So that Mishnah Pesachim is talking about Issa D'rabbanan, hard to imagine, and you're not allowed to cut off the wart with a knife. What do you mean a knife? That's an Issa D'oraisa. So the Mishnah Pesachim would be extremely inconsistent in that it's talking about Issa D'rabbanan, and then Issa D'oraisa. That doesn't make any sense. So the Gemara asks this very question. So, V'idach dumi da'akiva v'haveyesa mechotzotchum ketani D'rabbanan. V'idach. Now, what if you like the idea that the Mishnah Pesachim is talking about cutting off the wart with a knife, which is an Issa D'oraisa? How does that compare to the other things mentioned in the Mishnah? So he'll tell you, well, you know, the other prohibitions in the Mishnah, one can make the argument they are Isuri D'oraisa. How can you make that argument? And what you could say is that Mishnah Pesachim are holding like Tanayim, who Rabbi Nasan, don't agree with Rabbi Nasan, meaning that carrying a live animal is still an Issa D'oraisa. In other words, we don't subscribe to the concept of Chai Nosei Zatzmo, and bringing something from outside of Tchum, Rabbi Akiva, and remember, Rabbi Meir, both of the opinion that that's an Issa D'oraisa. Okay. All right, so basically now, breathe. Two approaches. Problem, our Mishnah in Erevin says, you are allowed to remove the wart off of an animal with your hand. The Mishnah Psachim says you're not allowed to remove the wart. So we have two basic approaches. Approach number one, our Mishnah is talking about with your hand. The Mishnah Psachim is talking about with a knife. Cutting it off with a knife is an Issa Daraisa that you're not allowed to do. That's approach number one. Approach number two is that our Mishnah in Erevin that says that you're allowed to is talking about dead wart, meaning it's dead skin. The Mishnah in Erevin is talking about where it's lacha, where it's moist. Okay. Those are our two basic approaches, and the Gemara notes there are problems with either approach. Okay. Meisiv Rav Yosef Amar Rabbi Elazar Kavachomer. Umashchita shi mishum malacha dochas haShabbos elu shi mishum shvus eino din she yidches haShabbos. Now, the Gemara notes that we have another problem in the following. Rabbi Eliezer wants to make the following argument. He turns to the Chacham and he says, I don't understand your position. Your position makes no sense. Look, you're allowed to shecht an animal, which would be a malacha daraisa. So now you want to tell me that I can't carry the animal, I can't bring the animal from outside of Tchum, I can't cut off the wart. All those activities are Isuri Darabanan. If you're acknowledging that you can violate Isuri Daraisa, can't you acknowledge that you can violate Isuri Darabanan? That's the logical argument that Rabbi Eliezer was making against the Chachamim. So, okay, good. Now, we can go back and forth on the argument. Right now, that doesn't interest us or interest the Gemara. Right now, what interests the Gemara is, what do you see in that argument? That Rabbi Eliezer was looking at all those activities, and what was he saying about all those activities? They're Isurei Derabanan. The cutting off of the wart is an Isurei Derabanan. So, how can you then tell me that the Mishnah over there was talking about cutting it off with a knife? Cutting off with a knife is an Isurei Daraisa. Elam Rav Yosef, Hava Habiyad. Okay, so Rav Yosef now is going to give us our third approach. And that is the following. Our Mishnah Erevin is talking about cutting off the wart with your hand. The Mishnah Psachim is cutting off the wart with your hand. Ripping off the wart with your hand. So far, so good. I mean, not good, but okay. In other words, it's not an Isurei Daraisa. It's only an Isurei Derabanan. Why is our Mishnah Erevin permitting it? Why is the Mishnah Psachim prohibiting it? And now we're going to give our third approach, the approach of Rav Yosef. Vishvus mikdash b'mikdash itiru, shvus de mikdash b'medina lo itiru. Who's in charge of the avoda? If the Kohanim are in charge of the avoda, they can bypass Isuri Derabanan. If we're in charge of the avoda, we the people, we cannot bypass Isuri Derabanan. And if you think about it intuitively, it makes perfect sense. Meaning, the Kohanim are professionals. They're professional avoda workers. So in other words, they know to be careful of knowing what they can do and not knowing what they can't do. And for that line, for them, the lines are very clear. And so for them, they're only going to violate, they're allowed to bypass and overlook Isuri Derabanan. Because they're not going to, even though they're going to step over the Isuri Derabanan, they're allowed to, they're not going to step over the Isuri Daraisa. We, the people, however, as we're bringing our carbon Pesach to the base of Mikdash, like, we're not professionals. Meaning, once a year, we get to do, I mean, we're not going to be doing all the avoda, by the way. We'll learn in Pesachim. But it's our carbon Pesach, and we're handling it. And in other words, it's basically under our care. So for us, even though we're doing an avoda, we were not allowed license to override Isuri Derabanan. That's the answer of Rav Yosef. The way he says it is, Shvus de Mikdash b'Mikdash is allowed, Shvus de Mikdash b'Medina, meaning if we the people are doing Mikdash, so then we're not allowed. Let's see this answer a little bit more inside, and then we'll have to stop. Yep. The Mikdash b'Medina lo itiru. Yosef Abaye v'kama la shmaitais v'Rav Safra la Abaye. So Rav Safra asked the following question to Abaye. Now this question is fascinating because Hayakor b'Sefer Ali Skufa, what's going on over here? Reading a Sefer Torah. Remember, we just dealt with this in the previous parak, in the ninth parak. Reading the Sefer, and what happens? One of the ends of the Sefer rolls off the threshold. V'nizgalgal Sefer miyado golo atzlo, so you'll have to roll it back. V'ahacha d'shvus b'mikdash b'medinahu v'lo gazrinan. Now, this is what's called Shvus de Mikdash. Now, this is fascinating because we're talking about reading a Sefer Torah. It's not an avoda, but meanwhile, the Gemara refers to it as Shvus de Mikdash, meaning it's a Sefer Torah, just like an avoda is called Mikdash. Sefer Torah is also called Mikdash as well. Anyway, but what you're allowed to do is you're allowed to roll the Sefer Torah back to you on the while you're sitting on the threshold. So don't you see that you're allowed to bypass Isuri Durabanan, even though we're outside the base of Mikdash? The Gemara's answer is very simple, Duma, Nafa Vaasi Lasuri, Velo Kimna, I'm sorry, Vaasi Lasuri. And aren't you worried that it's going to fall out of your hand and you're going to bring it back to you? And so and you're not worried about that, meaning you're not worried about Isuri Durabanan? So the Gemara's answer is, don't you remember? Velo Kimna be Skufas Carmelus for sure Sarabim or Verslafana, the came the Agido Biado. Don't you remember? Meaning, we were not talking about where the iskufa, the threshold that you were standing on, was a reshus hayachid. In fact, we concluded that the iskufa was a karmelis. And what happens now is that the it rolls out of your hand, but you're still holding one end. So when you roll it back to you, you're not even violating an iser derabanan. And what could possibly happen is that you may let go of your end, and then you may bring it back. Then and only then you're going to be violating an Issur Durabanan. But to compound another Issur Durabanan, which is that when you're holding your hand, you're not allowed to roll it back to you, that far we won't go. In other words, to put it simply, that's not even an Issur Durabanan. Okay. Eisvei. Last one for today. Now here we're going to take Erev Pesach and we're going to move it to Friday. Okay, what's the problem? The problem is that there's no problem, meaning we're going to shech the Karban Pesach, all is good. The problem is the roasting of the Karban Pesach. When do I normally roast the Karban Pesach? The night of the 15th, otherwise known to us as the Seder night. The problem is that that's Friday night. So I'm going to be roasting it on Shabbos. I can't roast it on Shabbos. That's a malacha. So what do I do? So I roast it. I start the roasting process right before the sun sets. I put it on the spit right before the sun sets. Now, if you remember, I'm going all the way back to the third parak of Shabbos, Parak Kira. Do you remember what we said? Is that in order to prepare food for Shabbos, the food has to be cooked, Michael ben Drusai maybe, but the food has to be cooked before Shabbos. With the Chachamim, we're worried that the food is not fully cooked before Shabbos, and now you're letting it go on Shabbos. You're going to want to accelerate the cooking process, and you're going to stoke the coals. So generally speaking, to leave raw food on a fire going into Shabbos is rabbinically prohibited. However, the Mishnah Pesachim says that for the purposes of the Karban Pesach, you're allowed to do that. You're allowed to put the Karban Pesach right over the spit, right before Shabbos begins. V'lo gazrinan. Sorry, let me read the Mishnah. Mishashnas lePesach letanurim chashecha va'achad deshvus b'mikdash b'medina v'lo gazrinan shem yichate b'gachalim. And for whatever reason, it doesn't seem like we're concerned about the prohibition. What we colloquially refer to as sheiya, what the Gemara refers to as shem yichate b'gachalim. We're not worried about stoking the coals. Why? Karban Pesach. It's an avoda. Even though, by the way, it's an avoda, not of the Kohanim, it's an avoda for we the people. Ishtik. That's a good question. That's a really good question. So you see that we can bypass the Isuri Derabanan even when we're doing avoda, meaning not the Kohanim, even when we're doing the avoda. So Ishtik, he really had no answer to this question, as it really was an excellent question. He also come into Rav Yosef Amalei Hachi Amalei Rav Safra Amalei My Time Lo Tishan Elei B'nei Chabur Zrizin Hein. Well, couldn't you have given this answer? Meaning, we're coming as a group of people. So just like the Kohanim are careful, we're also going to be careful. We're also not going to violate Isuri Derabanan. Abaye didn't buy that answer. Kohanim Zrizin Hein, I'm sorry, Kohanim Zrizin Hein Amrinan, B'nei Chabur Zrizin Hein, Lo Amrinan. The fact that Kohanim are careful, that's fine. As I mentioned a couple of minutes ago, they're professionals. The fact that we, the people, are careful, not so fine. Meaning that to that degree, we won't say. Okay, so let's just recap now. Okay, 3 out of 4 is not bad. I wanted to get through all 4. But basically now, let's quickly recap a Mishnah. And Erevin says that you're allowed to remove the wort. The Mishnah in Pesachim says you're not allowed to remove the wort. So we have right now three approaches to how to deal with this. Approach number one is that our Mishnah is talking about removing it with a hand. The Mishnah in Pesachim is talking about removing it with a kli. Approach number two, our Mishnah says removing it while it's dry. The Mishnah in Pesachim is talking about removing it while it's moist. Approach number three is that our Mishnah is talking about Kohanim. They're allowed to do it. The Mishnah in Pesachim is talking about you and me. Okay.